absolute power corrupts absolutely.
All right, it's that time again. It's Sunday morning on a nice, crisp day on the East Coast, and you know what time it is. It's 10 a.m. I am JT, and this is, I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. Like I say it all the time, every time I'm on a show, 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. We got a great show in store for you today. Week nine in fantasy football. A lot of people, not a lot of teams on a bye. We got the Giants on a bye. We got the San Francisco 49ers on a bye. We got the Denver Broncos on a bye. We got the Arizona Cardinals on a bye. We got Jacksonville Jaguars on a bye, and we also have, last but not least, the Detroit Lions. And for those Reggie Bush or Calvin Johnson or Matthew Stafford fans, too bad you don't have them this week. For those who had Peyton Manning or Victor Cruz or Demaryius Thomas or Wes Walker or Eric Decker or Julius Thomas, too bad. Not this week. You better scramble around. I hope you got some backups to sustain yourself. For those who had Colin Kaepernick, Frank Gore, Anquan Boldin, or Vernon Davis, too bad. And not this week. For those of you who had Larry Fitzgerald, or maybe even, and you're probably reaching, Carson Palmer, or Andre Ellington, too bad. Not this week. For those of you who had Eli Manning, or Victor Cruz, or Hakeem Nicks, or maybe even Reuben Randall. Too bad. Not this week. You better look someplace else. And last but not least, whoever had MJD, or Cecil Shorts, or unfortunately, even past this week, you won't have them, Justin Blackmon. Too bad. Justin Blackmon is suspended for the rest of the year indefinitely. And the other players I named, they're not playing for you this week. There's a lot of fantasy players, good fantasy, big-time fantasy players sitting on the sidelines this week. And the teams, and I know your fantasy teams are scrambling for them, for players to take up the slack. So the output that you had, and no one can have the output like Calvin Johnson had, over 300 yards. But the output you had from these players on a weekly basis leading up to their bye week, you may not totally get it back because if you get it back from another player, because if you did, you would have that player in the lineup. So if the bench player or somebody you may have had fortunate enough to be picking up off the waiver wire, some of the players I've been naming over the last few weeks, hopefully you've got some players to be able to pick up the slack, maybe not give you the same output, but get put you in a position to win this week's matchup, week nine, in the NFL and also in fantasy. Now, I'm going to be going through some quarterbacks, some running backs, because there's some guys that are nicked up that may not be playing coming off their bye from week eight. So you have to think that there's where the good owners or good managers of their teams, of the squads, come into play now. Whether you can sustain that 8-0, or 7-1, or 6-2, or 5-3, or 4-4, or 3-5, or 2-6, or 1-7, or you haven't even won one yet. It doesn't make a difference. For those who are down on the list, meaning the win list, if you're 2-6, 3-5, this is the week. If not last week, this is the week you have to win. Think about it. Okay, you got on an average, it's 13 weeks, and the playoffs start in 14th, 15th, and 16th, or some leagues the playoffs start in the 15th, 15th week. Well, eight games, you're halfway through the season. So for those of you that are on the negative side on the win-loss column, you have to more or less win out. You have to think that at least eight wins, get you into the playoffs. So you have to lead out of your last eight games, or last four games, you have to win out. You almost have no chance. You have to win out. So hopefully you're in a position to turn around your team from the first 8 weeks and make a strong showing of yourself in the last 8 weeks. But this week, for those who are on a negative side of 500, 3-5, 2-6, you got a slim chance. 3-5, you still got a shot. Even 4-4, you have to win this week. You have to win. I can't stress it enough. You have to win this week. You got to find a way. If you got players on your team that you don't want to, for some reason, they're big-time players, but you're still losing with those big-time players, well, guess what? If you're losing with them, what's the sense of keeping them if you're losing with them? This is what you do. And this is my suggestion, and I've suggested this to other people before. You had a formula when you drafted. Hopefully you did. Up until now, that formula or that plan, I should say, hasn't worked. Because if you're on the negative side, for whatever reason, you're 3-5, maybe 4-4, you had a shot, or 2-6, it's even slimmer a shot. And you have good players on your team, and you're still having problems. This tells me that you have some sort of weakness on your team that's holding you back. Maybe you have a big-time quarterback, and you're weak in either wide receiver or running back, and that's causing you wins. Or you're strong in running back, but you're weak in wide receivers or quarterback. Or you're weak in wide receivers, and you're strong in wide receivers, and you're weak in running backs, or a quarterback. Well, you take that strength, okay? Say you have a Calvin Johnson or a Dez Bryant, and a lot of people don't do this because they hate to lose their big time player. Well, that would be good if you were on the positive side of 500. But if you're on the negative side of 500 and you're struggling to make the playoffs, you have to use that strength. You have to use that strength to make up for your weakness. Because what's happening is you're relying more on one position to sustain your team and the other positions are too weak to be able to pick up the slack. You have to balance it out. You have to balance it out so one position doesn't cause you're not dependent on one more. You're not dependent on one position versus the other. So you take that one big-time player, and you go to a team that's possibly got a strength in running backs if you need running backs, got a strength in wide receivers if you need a wide receiver, got a strength in quarterbacks if you need a quarterback, and take that player and trade him. Since that's your strength, I'll say, for instance, you have strength in running backs, okay? You have strength in running backs. You have four running backs, and so you're sitting at least one of them, maybe two of them if you don't have a flex position. So you're really wasting those running backs. I know there's bye weeks, but there's three more bye weeks left after this, 10, 11, and 12. So either Marshawn Lynch, either Jamaal Charles, or I'm just naming two of them. Jamaal Charles has got a bye week in week 10, and Marshawn Lynch got a bye week in week 12. So what I'm saying is this: if you got a strength in running backs and you're weak in one position, and that position is holding you down and causing you to lose games, you're losing games anyway. So. Use that strength that you have and make your weakness a strength, or to balance your team out. So you're not relying on one position to win you from week to week. I see teams all the time. They're weak in different positions. They're strong in the quarterback. Let me be strong in the quarterback and wide receivers, okay? But they don't want to part with them. So they're scrambling to get running backs, and it's causing them to lose games because the quarterback and the wide receivers can't pick up the slack for the running backs that you don't have. Or you got a quarterback and you got running backs, but the wide receivers are too weak to be able to win from week to week. Or you got a running back and you got wide receivers, but the quarterback, you're scrambling for a decent quarterback from week to week because – you didn't draft a strong enough quarterback. Use that strength and use it. What do you have to lose? This is what I'm saying. And a lot of guys overvalue their players, hold on to them for which makes no sense, and they're constantly losing from week to week. Now they may rise up every now and then to get a win, but 4-4, 3-5, 2-6 means you're inconsistent and your team's got a weakness that the other positions can't make up for. So you have to make a move. You have to do something. Otherwise, you're going to do the same thing week in and week out and wonder why you're losing. Think about that. If you're losing what you have and you really fall in love with these players, well, you fall in love with them, and you'll be sitting outside the playoffs and saying, "Aw, shucks," when you could have made some moves with the players you have to gather some moves. Now, this is another problem that I see in trading. Guys are so worried about getting ripped off or getting the best of a trade. I do this all the time, and I've done it before. I've done it in the past, and I keep on doing it. You have to give to get. You may not want to get rid of a person, but if you see a weakness in your team and you see another team that may help you and you may help them, go for it. Now, it may look like the other league. It may look to the other league like you're giving up too much, but it's not your team. If they knew anything about fantasy football, and I'm saying they didn't, they would look at your team and say, "Oh, I can see what he's doing." What I'm saying is this: stop trying to win every trade. Everybody, is competitive in fantasy football, but you're trying to better your team. If you're trying to better your team. So if you're going to trade away Adrian Peterson and you want a running back and a wide receiver. Maybe that running back is the best of the two players, or that wide receiver is the best of the two players. But you're getting two players that may help your team in two positions and balance your team out. True, you're giving up Adrian Peterson, but you're getting a good running back to come back. Maybe not the Adrian Peterson quality, but you're getting a good running back coming back to you, and you're getting a wide receiver that you may need also. So you're not losing. Even though you're losing the big-name player Adrian Peterson, you're not losing. You're gaining because you're gaining two good players that you need on your team to balance your team out versus Adrian Peterson, who's one guy. And if he has a bad week, if he doesn't run like he was running last year, and I predicted he wouldn't before the season started, then you're dependent on one player to carry your team, and it's not going to happen from week to week. You got to balance your team out with decent players from top to bottom as much as you can, so your team doesn't rely on one player, one position the most. If that doesn't make sense, I don't know what will. And for the most part, if you do that, barring injury, and you can't control injuries, but barring injury, you'll have a competitive team, and for the most part, you will make the playoffs year in and year out. All right, I'm done with my rant. I want to finish, going through these games one by one. But think about that. This is week eight. Week nine. A lot of six teams are on a bye. I named the players that are on a bye, and a lot of them are fantasy superstars or fantasy stars. And for those of you, like I said, on the negative side of 500, you have to make a move regardless. You're losing with the players. I stress this or not. You're losing with the players you have now, and big-name players. So what's that telling you? You have to make a move and move some of those big-name players to give you a shot to be able to get in the playoffs. And I got a caller from the 202. Let me bring him in here. Caller from the 202. Welcome to the Master Plan. Hello?
What's going on, Jerry?
Oh, long lost my man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I had to take my hiatus for a minute. I hear you talking about people on the wrong side of 500, so I had to go talk to a couple of GMs to see what type of moves I can make for the rest of this year.
Well, I was going on a rant for like the last 10, 15 minutes. And just let me finish. Like, were you listening to the whole what I was saying?
No, not the whole thing. I just came in on the end of it.
Okay, what I was saying was this. If you're on the negative side of 500, 4-4, that's not that bad. 4-4 means you're inconsistent, you're average. 3-5, 2-6, and you're trying to make the playoffs. 2-6, you really have a long shot of making the playoffs. 3-5, you still have a shot to make the playoffs. My philosophy, my thing is this. If you have a record like that, and who you drafted on your team is big-name players for whatever reason, for whatever, but your squad in one position or another has a weakness. So you're really relying on your main guns, whether it's wide receivers, whether it's running backs or quarterbacks, to carry your team, and it hasn't been doing that. That's why you're 2-6 and 3-5. My thing is this. If you have a big-name player, you've been losing with that big-name player anyway. So make a move and grab two decent or two good players from whatever positions that you weaken to make up the difference of the points that are lacking in that weak position that you have. True, you're getting rid of a big player. Let me lay Adrian Peterson. I'm in one league in Yahoo. Not the league we're in, but I'm in another league in Yahoo, and I have Adrian Peterson on my team. My team's 3-5. This is typical. My team is 3-5, and I've been losing because I'm weak in wide receivers. Okay, so I just lost. I forget who I just lost, but I lost a decent wide receiver. So I'm weak in wide receivers. So I want to pick up a running back, and I want to get a good wide receiver. So I put a trade out there for Adrian Peterson, and I think I added somebody else, maybe another wide receiver. I forget who it was. And to get back Andre Johnson and Arian Foster. That's the type of thing I'm talking about. You got a big-name player out there. Now, maybe not. You may not be get a running back like Arian Foster to come back with Andre Johnson, unless what you package with Adrian Peterson is comparable. But you take that big-name player and try to get two good players to make up for your weakness in that other position. So you're bringing back a good running back, maybe not the caliber of an Adrian Peterson. But your main thing was to get a decent player, maybe in a wide receiver or maybe in the quarterback, to make up for what you lack in that position. But you got to do something because you're 3-5. You're on the negative side of 500, and you're trying to make the playoffs, and you're not winning with the team you have. So you got to make a move and trade some of the players you may not want to trade earlier in the season to try to make a positive move to get to the playoffs. What do you think?
That's true, and that's definitely a formula, you know, that I take confidence in. I did it the opposite way because what I did like last week, I was 3-4, and this mm-hmm. is in the league that we're playing in with Vic.
Right.
I was 3-4, and I had told myself if I don't beat the Louisiana Coon guy, then mm-hmm. I'm basically done. And luckily,
right.
I pulled that win off. So
right.
This week, I don't know if you looked at it yet today, but this week I threw a trade up there to playoff blocker, and I said I was going to throw him out there because I'm stacked at running back in the ESPN league. I had Chris Johnson, Trent Richardson, Fred Jackson, and who's the other guy? I can't think of his name, but
hold on.
I had four great running backs. Eddie Lacy, that's who it is.
Okay.
Fred Johnson, Fred Jackson, Trent Richardson, Chris Johnson, Fred Jackson, Eddie Lacy. So I threw
right.
him a trade, and I said I didn't feel confident in my wideout, even though I had Jordy Nelson and Eric Decker. But
mm-hmm.
as we know, having Eric Decker, you in like a 4-5-way battle out there, so you don't really know who's going to do what.
Let me interrupt you. Even though Eric Decker is leading the targets in there, I don't know if you know that
yeah.
or not. Yeah,
yeah, he's leading the targets, but even still,
mm-hmm.
you still
right.
sometimes you don't know what you're going to get. So,
right.
I threw a trade out there, and I didn't know if he accepted it or not, but I wanted AJ Green. I really wanted AJ Green because AJ Green puts numbers up regardless. So, I'm giving him Fred Jackson and Eric Decker for AJ Green.
Mm-hmm.
He accepted it.
Yes, he did.
So
I'm looking at it right now. Yes, he did.
So because he accepted, okay, that's great because I look at it just like I said with Eric Decker, he's a 50-50 shot when it comes to it, even though he's leading his target, but you have all these different ones. You have everybody that's capable. Fred Jackson, he's a tough running back out there, but he's playing on that MCL sprain.
Mm-hmm.
So the backs that I got, they're coming off a bye, Trent Richardson, Chris Johnson. Chris' schedule from here on out is weak as far as defense goes. So he has a better chance of getting the type of numbers we look at from Chris Johnson.
Exactly.
Trent Richardson, he finally took a bye. So he's had a week to say, you know what, let me go ahead and get this offense under my belt. Brown takes my spot. So I'm thinking these two guys are going to pay off because Eddie Lacy, he's in there. He's slotted. There's no way he's coming out of my lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving him them two. And by me having Jordy Nelson and AJ Green, I think I'm set now.
I saw that trade. I was saying, wow. I mean, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. This guy, I'm looking
yeah.
at his team now, and he's getting back a decent wide receiver. And I know he really doesn't like, even though he has Andre Ellington, I know he probably doesn't really trust him, even though he may have played him last week. And his other back besides Marshawn Lynch is Ryan Matthews. And
right.
so, and he probably doesn't really trust Ryan Matthews, even though Ryan Matthews has been running well. So, and Fred
right.
Jackson's been Eck's been pretty consistent. So he decides to pick up Eric Decker, and he's picking up another running back. So he's getting a
right.
2-for-1. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly – he's 4-4, and I think you're probably 4-4. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I'm 4-4,
okay.
And I'm only a game back in the division. So I feel like this can actually throw me over the top, because every week I'm always going to sit a running back that can still put up good numbers. But by having A.J. Green and Jordy Nelson, I'm always getting double figures. I can play with the running backs a little bit. I'd rather have three out there to play with that's definite than four, and I still got a high number sitting on, like that week that Fred Jackson scored 50, I had
right.
him sitting on the bench.
Ouch.
I left him on the bench. Luckily, I still won, but it's just the fact that he was on the bench, and it killed me. I was like, dang, I could have won by that much more.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, see, and my nephew runs a league, a 14-team PPR league, and all these guys are 20-something, mid-20s, 24, 25, 26, around there somewhere. And these guys, I can see the weakness on their team, and they're always trying to, I wouldn't say rip somebody off on a trade, but they're always trying to get more than what their players are worth, let me put it that way.
Right.
And they'll go down and they're 2-6, 3-5, maybe 4-4, but holding on by the skin of their teeth, rather than make a freaking trade when it's obvious of the weaknesses that they need, and you give them a 2-for-1, and because it's a big name player, they want the freaking sky. They want the whole sky. They don't see the big picture. They want the whole sky because I got whoever I have that's a big name player that's in the top 10 or whatever position they're in.
They want to trade for name.
Exactly. Rather than realize what they're and I'm not all of them, but the majority of them are like that. And you can talk to your blue in the face, explain to them, text them back and forth or through email back and forth, and break it down just like I'm breaking it down here. And
right.
they still because it's a big name player, figure they should get a big name player plus some, which that doesn't work. So I'm number one in the league, but I had a fight because I was way down. I was like sixth or seventh at one point, and I was picking up pieces because when you're in the middle of the waiver wire, it's very difficult because you're not on the bottom where you can pick up the best players, and you're in the middle, so you're picking up scraps, and you really got to scramble for whatever's out there.
You really got to dig
deep for what's out there. Anyway, I've been offering trades that you wouldn't believe, and these guys have been turning down because I'm heavy on running back. I'm very heavy on running back. I got Arian Foster, Reggie Bush. I lucked out with Le'Veon Bell, and I also and I think this kid's got starting to come around now, and I think that the team, one of your favorite teams, is starting to realize this kid's a good running back in Lamar Miller.
I have
those four. I used to have Joique Bell, but I took a shot and traded him away, and I also have Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon as my two wide receivers. Now I don't have too good of backups. I just picked up and I think this kid and I'll go with this game first. I think this kid is going to and he's been showing out for the last 2 weeks. And this leads me into the first game I want to bring out, which is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And Thad Lewis is not starting.
Right.
The rookie, the undrafted rookie, Tool, is starting.
Tool.
Yeah. So quite naturally, you're going to play Jamal Charles, but he's a little banged up. I do happen to have on that league I was just talking to you about. I picked this guy up, and I'm surprised the owner of Jamal Charles didn't pick up. I picked up Niles Davis.
Yeah.
And kept him on my bench just in case Jamal Charles.
Just in case.
Because he's been getting banged up the last few weeks, even though he's on a bye next week.
Right.
But I also picked up this kid who for the last 2 weeks has been showing out at wide receiver, and Alex Smith has been looking for him. I'm talking about Dexter McCluster, one of your favorite players that you like.
Yeah. He all of a sudden is finally a given that this guy can suffice at some position in the offense. And I look at how he's being used now compared to the way he's been used before Andy Reid got there. And you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of a player that a lot of people, you'll remember if I know that, but a lot of people won't remember this guy. Remember when Philly had Vasekahima back in the day?
Oh, Vasekahima?
That's who McCluster reminds me of now. I think Vasekahima was there just for like a couple of years while Andy was there, because he was there for so long. But the way that Vasekahima was used, and he wasn't using the offense that much, but when he was in there, the guy was explosive, just like on kick returns and punt returns. So it's the same thing with Dexter McCluster. He's that type of guy where you can shift him anywhere around that offense.
Yep, he's like a Swiss Army knife. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He can run the ball. He can go to wide out, and then he can do a lot. And I think they're finally figuring out, because he's been there field for years, and they're finally figuring out what they can do with Dexter McCluster, because he's got a lot of speed, and he can be explosive at times. So with Alex Smith in there, who's Mr. Checkdown and Mr. Short Pass versus throwing the ball on a consistent basis downfield to Dwayne Bowe, Dexter McCluster fits that to a T in my position. So he's been sitting out there for a while, and I say, you know what? I'm short on – I don't have Arian Foster. I mean, I don't have Reggie Bush, and I want somebody explosive that can possibly take it to the house and with a long play on this bye week. So let me put in Dexter McCluster at a good position, especially playing against Buffalo. And let's see what happens. And I think they're going to try to not give Jamal Charles maybe not as much as they would normally, because of maybe his physical condition. And maybe Dexter McCluster may pick up some receptions, because now he's listed as strictly a wide receiver, no more a running back, flash wide receiver. So
right, and that's when I was thinking, hey, this guy's going to rack it up. If they got him at two spots, doesn't matter where he's at, I'm good. And he never got me the point, so I had to let him go.
Right, exactly. Anyway, also on the other side, I would say, you know, this is tough because this defense is very tough against the run. But Fred Jackson is nursing the MCL, which you were good to get rid of Fred Jackson. That was a good package deal that you did with Eric Decker to get the second best, disputably the second best wide receiver in the league.
Right.
With A.J. Green. I'm just mad. I didn't think of that. Anyway, I have to think here that Fred Jackson is going to get his, but I think C.J. Spiller is slowly coming around, and I think the second half of this season, I think it's next week that they're on a bye, if I'm not mistaken.
Week after next, they're on a bye. And that's another reason. I think so, because that's another reason. Matter of fact, I say it like this. The Bengals and the Bills, both of them got their byes the same week. So that, I'm looking right now. Oh, no, it's week 12.
Week 12? Really?
Yeah, both of them got their byes on week 12. So that's another reason why I did do the deal, because I was like, well, you know what? I'm not losing out too much. Neither team has had their bye. Just like you say, Spiller. Slowly but surely, C.J. Spiller is coming back, and he's like one of my favorite running backs, because the guy, if he's healthy, The boy is seriously a threat. He's
yes, he
a serious
is.
Threat. I was hoping the Redskins would pick him up and not draft Alfred Morris, but, hey, I'm not mad either
mm-hmm.
way.
Right.
And I know that when C.J. Spiller is fully healthy and he's out there, they're going to phase Fred out because that's what they wanted to do. Fred's already 30, 31, but Fred's a tough dude. He shows you that every week.
Mm-hmm.
He shows you.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing. He hasn't missed a game this year, and he's playing on a sprained MCL. CJ's missed a game or two because of an ankle. Come on now. You can't doubt Fred's ability. But
right.
I just don't feel as though Fred needs to sit on my bench and rack up points when I'm like, oh, well, he can go down this week or he may not go down this week. I can't do that nerve thing. I'm at 4-4.
Right.
I'm trying to make the playoff push.
Right, right. Yep. And I would anybody who has Stevie Johnson, I would temper my expectations because
yeah.
of the defense, especially the secondary of the Kansas City Chiefs, number one rated defense. These guys, these boys are tough, and a lot of people think this may be a trap game. They may be sleeping on this because they're going into a bye week, and after the bye week is the first of two encounters they have with Denver. Over the next 3 weeks, week 11
right.
and week 13, they play Denver. Anyway, I don't think that's going to happen, but those are some of the players that I like. And Dexter McCluster is definitely a flex play for me. I think he's going to be able to get into the end zone. One week is a fluke, second week's a trend, and I think Alex Smith is becoming more and more confident in throwing to Dexter McCluster, and he's going to be coming through with some explosive plays in the future. I do believe that. Let's move on to this is your team. I want to talk about this. This is going to be a very interesting game here.
It is going to be a very interesting game here.
You know what? I see nothing but points galore in this. From each quarterback, from the running backs, from the wide receivers, I'm telling you, Phillip Rivers and Robert Griffin. Why?
I don't know why everybody's seeing points. I'm not seeing the points.
Really?
Seriously, I'm not. Because, I mean, the Redskins, their defense sucks. We know it. If they're
mm-hmm.
ranked higher than 32, it's a fluke. Point blank. I told people in the beginning of the year after game one when we played against Philly that
mm-hmm.
their offense right now sucks. And I stuck by that. And it showed. I gave somebody a scenario last week or probably about 2-3 days ago. We were sitting in here talking at my house.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing about the Redskins offense. Robert Griffin is great with that read option. We all know
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
He's great with it. But let's look at the way that everything was set up for the Skins. Now, this year, the Redskins haven't done too much with the read option because, one, Robert Griffin III still nursing the ACL. He's trying to come back from the ACL, LCL, whatever. Okay, so he can't run on the fly like that. But last year, they were very efficient passing. He was very efficient, had the highest rookie quarterback rating. His completion percentage was like 70+. So that's good. But I told a friend of mine, I said, if you look at the way that they should have did things, they should have taught him the passing part of that offense first. And this is where me and Vic always have a problem at, because he's told me before, he said the read option is the base of their offense. I said, no, it's not. If you look at Shanahan, and I'm not talking about Mike, I'm talking about Kyle. If you look at
mm-hmm.
the way he built that Houston offense, he showed them the passing game. That's why Houston is so – that's why everybody loves Houston's passing offense, which is great. You got Andre Johnson. All you need is another wide out. You got the tight end. You got a running back that can go out on the flat. That's
mm-hmm.
the passing offense. They didn't show Robert Griffin this part of the offense until this year. After he was hurt, if they'd have showed him the way I'm looking at it anyway, if they'd have showed him the passing part of the offense first and then introduced the read option this year, it'd have been very explosive. But he was so efficient last year because he didn't have to really go downfield. Yes, he went downfield more than he did this year, but a lot of people weren't looking at that. They were looking at the read option. They were looking at the fact that he's going to run the ball or he can create outside the pocket. So I think San Diego's defense is way better than a lot of people think. But I don't see the Redskins or the Chargers getting a lot of points. One, because the Chargers know how to possess the ball, which is great. Two, the Redskins they can't really get downfield when the defense allows them to. And they're not going to take advantage of the fact that the Chargers don't have a great secondary. They have a good secondary, but they're not great. They're not going to take advantage of it. So I'm looking at, truthfully, I'm looking at a 20 to 14, because the Chargers know how to do time of possession. If you look at them, they're the best. They're probably top five in the NFL as far as time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to keep the ball from the Skins. The Skins are going to do all they can to keep it from them, but I can't see a lot of points being scored in this game. I don't know why. Because the Skins are mistake prone. They're just too mistake prone. I can't see it.
Well, I'm saying points galore. I'm thinking fantasy here because I think Phil Rivers is going to be able to throw all over the Redskins, and I do believe that the running game and it varies from week to week, but these guys pretty much even things out. Ryan Matthews is running better. Danny Woodhead.
He definitely is.
And Antonio Gates is back to where he was before, so I think he's going to get him because Philip Rivers loves throwing to Antonio Gates. And the new kid on the block, Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen is becoming a
mentioned this guy from the beginning. My first show, I think I may have mentioned him, if I'm not recall, that this kid has grown into basically the number one wide receiver that Philip Rivers likes to go to. And on the other side, quite naturally, Robert Griffin, Albert Morris, I think they're going to be able to run the ball on here. I'm really liking this kid, and I was unable to pick him up in a few leagues. I'm talking about Jordan Reed. I think you guys got a very good, extremely top tight end there in Jordan Reed.
As soon as I seen him, I plucked him. I tried my best. And I tried my best to get him in the league that I'm running, but I couldn't get him fast enough. And then just so happens your favorite guy goes out.
Yeah, I know. JaMychal Finley.
I was upset.
Yeah. Yeah. And he reminds me of someone he may not have the height, but he reminds me of the athleticism of a JaMychal Finley. I think he's a former basketball He is definitely a security blanket for Robert Griffin III. Of course, you play Pierre Garçon, and these other guys, Santana Moss and Leonard Hankerson, are tough plays for me because you never know what you're going to get from either one of these guys, whether they're going to be heavily involved in the offense or just an afterthought.
That's right.
Anyway, let's move on to this team, this game, I should say. It'd be this is the divisional game held down in Carolina. We're talking about the Carolina Panthers hosting the two and five. It's hard for me to even say coming out of my mouth with that. Atlanta Falcons, who seem like they're on a downward spiral, and don't know how to get out of it. Steven Jackson is back, and His second half schedule of teams to play, especially against the run, is very tough. He had Arizona last week. He's got Carolina this week. He's going to have a tough row to hoe, and I don't believe he's totally healthy. So he's a tough play, but if you have Steven Jackson and you don't have any better alternatives, you got to play them and hope for the best. Against at Carolina, in Carolina, Carolina's defense is playing extremely well. And Atlanta's going to have a hard time running the ball. Their best shot is to go to Tony Gonzalez, Harry Douglas, and another wide receiver that a lot of people don't know about. I'm talking about Drew Davis, who happens to be a young wide receiver that it's probably a short-term fix until Roddy White comes back, because Roddy White's still nursing a high ankle sprain and I think a hamstring. So he's got two injuries that he's trying to get back from. So those are the plays on Atlanta. On the other side, Cam Newton's been playing lights out lately. And there's a new kid on the block. He finally coming back from an injury that he's had ever since the beginning of this season. I'm talking about Jonathan Stewart. Supposedly he's supposed to get 6 to 10 carries. So they're going to try to slowly incorporate him into the offense, which downgrades Mike Tolbert, if you have him, and definitely downgrades D'Angelo Williams, because that Jonathan Stewart, as long as he's healthy, gets these few touches this game, he's going to consistently take away from D'Angelo Williams. So if you haven't, and I think I mentioned it last week, if you haven't gotten rid of D'Angelo Williams, or temper your expectations, because here we go with the timeshare with these two. The second best receiver that they have that can throw to is not a wide receiver, really. It's the tight end, and that's Greg Olsen, and he always loves throwing to Steve Smith. Brandon LaFell, there's always, over the last couple seasons, they've always said that he's supposed to step up as a number two wide receiver. He's still too inconsistent for me. To put it into the lineup, and along with Ted Ginn. These guys, you never know from week to week if they're going to give you some type of explosive play or any kind of consistent play. They usually two to three catches, maybe 50 to 60 yards, and sometimes they throw in a touchdown, but it's nothing consistent. You got any comments on that before I move forward?
You hit everything in the head. I mean, I'm just so surprised the way that Carolina is just all of a sudden playing. And, you know, years back when Cam Newton was drafted, I was like, this guy he's not that quarterback. And, I mean, he proved me wrong in year one, but year two, he came back down to earth. And I think this is his third year now, right?
Sure is.
He all of a sudden, I think now, he gets it. And Steve Smith even said it. You know, they asked Steve Smith, they was like, what's the change? And he said, you can't deny that it's the quarterback play. And the decisions that Cam is making are just right now amazing to me. So for them to all of a sudden jump and take this division, if they were to do that, it would not even surprise me, because Cam is making great decisions. So I'm really surprised on that. As far as Jonathan Stewart, yeah, this probably will be D'Angelo Williams' last year as a Carolina Panther.
Right,
I hate to say
exactly.
That because of that contract he did sign, but this may be it because of Stewart.
Yep.
Stewart's finally coming
yep.
back, so we'll get to
yep.
see how he looks when he gets on
right.
that field.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to the this game. Vikings at the Cowboys. For those who don't know, hopefully you have one of the wide receivers or tight end to the Cowboys, Terrence Williams or Dez Bryant or Jason Witten, and even maybe Cole Beasley, because the simple fact is this. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Three cornerbacks, not one, not two, but three cornerbacks, starting cornerbacks, are not playing for the Minnesota Vikings.
Hey,
so you're gonna have backups playing against the Cowboys in Dallas with Christian Ponder as the turnover machine. And I've always said from day one, there's three quarterbacks, and I'll keep saying this, there's three quarterbacks that I absolutely do not like as starting quarterbacks. I even said I hate these guys because they're so absolutely terrible. Now, I have to temper my thoughts on one of them because he seems like he's coming around. But
that's right. I want you to say, and I told you he's not a bad guy. He just needs he needs time, but he's coming, right?
Right. I have to temper one because this guy is coming, but these other two are absolutely horrible. And in my opinion, they're number three quarterbacks. They're not even number two quarterbacks. I'm talking about Christian Ponder for one, and Blaine Gabbert for the other. And the one I was talking about that I have to temper my thoughts on, and I'm coming around, Ricky, slowly, I'm talking about Jake Locker. He finally is getting it. He's finally doing the work to make him an effective quarterback. So I'm taking Jake Locker out of that category, but there's two guys that are firmly entrenched and will probably never leave that category because they haven't proven to anything to me otherwise. So anybody who has wide receivers in Minnesota, I feel for you. I really feel for you. I really feel for you. You know what? This year I made a concerted effort that I would not draft a wide receiver from the Minnesota Vikings. The only one I could see that would be the positive person to catch a ball, and he was very shaky earlier, and he's getting more looks, is the tight end. Because Christian Ponder likes throwing to the tight end because he's a safe throw.
Because
he's in the
really
middle of the field.
He has no choice.
Yes. So, see, he throws it to the tight end, Kyle Rudolph. But Jerome Simpson, Greg Jennings, Cordell Patterson, the rookie, too inconsistent, not from their perspective, but because of the quarterback play. And the Minnesota Vikings can't make up their mind who's going to be the starting quarterback. They've run a three-quarterback carousel for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Matt Cassel, Christian Ponder, and Josh Freeman. And now we're back to Christian Ponder. And that's to me, that's the worst of the three. But for some reason, they have a love affair with Christian Ponder. I would rather take the quarterback of his alma mater, FSU, right now, versus Christian Ponder, because he's balling out. You know what I'm talking about, right?
The guy that beat the heck out of Miami last night.
yes, exactly. The freshman quarterback, and his name escapes me now. Yes, but the
Jameis Winston.
Yeah, exactly. I would rather take him than to take Christian Ponder because the fact is this guy seems like he's got more of an it factor than Christian Ponder has right now. And Christian Ponder's been in the league for 3 years.
Yeah. You know what? I like Christian Ponder, but I'm starting to shy. Just like you're coming back for Jake Locker, I'm starting to shy away from Christian Ponder, man.
Oh, it's horrible. I've seen him play so many times. He's absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. He's so inaccurate. It's painful to watch.
It's painful to watch. After that game that Josh Freeman had, that is by far the worst game I've ever seen in my NFL life. I've never seen a game that bad ever.
Well, he was only there less than 2 weeks when he got thrown into the fire, huh? Like Josh Freeman.
I mean, you can go back and get Jeff George, and I'm talking about right now. You can go get Jeff Garcia said it. Jeff Garcia said, "Hey, a lot of these quarterbacks nowadays, if they're not hurt, they just look bad. I know I can come out there and do better. Just give me a tryout. You can go get Jeff Garcia and he would not look that bad. I don't care if you had a week in the program, he would not look that bad.
That's
ridiculous.
Yeah, he was all over the place, throwing balls over guys' head, the left to the right of him, and a lot of those throws weren't even close. I don't know what he was throwing or what. Well, I don't know. I mean,
that's just ridiculous. We could have went out there. I'm telling you, I know, I could have went out there, and I always played quarterback when we did our little pickup game. I could have did way better than that. I don't care. You can light me up, break my ribs, all of that, but I could do better than that.
I hear you. All right, so on the other side, you know you got to play Tony Romo. DeMarco Murray is supposed to be coming back, and in my opinion, you still play him. And Dez Bryant and Terrence Williams and Jason Witten, I think all three of these guys are going to get into the end zone. I have the utmost confidence. This kid, Terrence Williams, is the absolute truth. And Miles Austin, I think his contract is up, and he's not too long for this team. And I think they're shutting him down. So depending on what happens up into the bye or how they feel about Miles Austin physically. Terrence Williams, for those who picked him up earlier in the year when Miles Austin went down, you're reaping the rewards because this kid's coming through week in and week out. And I think all three of those guys in the receiving department are going to get into the end zone. Jason Witten, even though he hasn't been doing too much lately, Dez Bryant definitely. I think they're going to be getting the ball to him early and often, especially with the tirade and the things that took place last week against Detroit.
Hey, let me say this, and I know you are just like me. I told a friend of mine after that game last week, I said, I like Calvin Johnson. I do. But now if I ever decide to take the draft strategy of a wide receiver at number one on my draft board, whenever we do fantasy, that would be it, period. It's no reason that one man should go out there and catch 14 passes for 300 and some odd yards, 329 yards, I believe it was. It's no reason for any man to do that. And the only other person that did that was who'd they say, Haywood Jeffries or Flipper Anderson back in the day? One of them.
Yeah, Flipper Anderson.
It's no reason for no one to do that. And Calvin Johnson just makes it look so easy. Like, if you throw it up in his vicinity, you know he's going to get it. You know it.
Yep.
He was motivated. He was quietly motivated just because Dez Bryant wants to say, oh, I can do what he does. Okay, show us. He showed us nothing to the effect of what Calvin Johnson's done. Nothing. That's ridiculous. And I understand. Calvin Johnson, he's 6'5". He's a big body. Okay, that's understandable. But still, he goes out there and catches over three people consistently, not just one game. We're talking about every year he does this. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. He's crazy. He's a jaw-dropping wide receiver, man. Every time you watch him, whatever game he's playing, last game, the game before that, he goes up against two and three guys, and he comes down with the ball. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. You see these guys, like they're draped on them like little roaches or something looking for food, and he's grabbing the ball and coming down with it, and they're just falling by the wayside. It's like, come on, you got to be kidding me.
I'm telling you, I don't care if I got Calvin Johnson on my roster, if he gets hurt, he's still going to be on my roster until I finish my season. That's it. Like my Yahoo, if he was to get hurt, he will be there until the season is over and the money was paid out to whoever won the league. He will be on my roster. That's ridiculous.
All right, well, let's move on. I'm going to do a couple more before I get out of here. I'm not going to get through all the games. I'm going to go to this game because we did talk about this guy, and I think his season is going to get turned around. He hasn't been doing too much, If you had looked at the schedule, it was pretty tough the beginning of the season, and now it gets a little easier for him. Let me see. Let me just go by. And I'm talking about Chris Johnson. We're talking about the Tennessee Titans versus the St. Louis Rams. Chris Johnson, the first 7-8 games that he played. Let me just run down what he played here. He played against Pittsburgh. He played against Houston, and both at Pittsburgh, at Houston. And he played against San Diego, at the Jets. He did pretty well against a stout defense at Kansas City. And then he was at Seattle, and he did pretty well last week against San Francisco. And then he just coming off a bye. Well, this is his schedule from the week 9 on. And it's like, if you don't have Chris Johnson, you should try to pick him up now. Because
keep this in mind.
This is why
I traded Fred.
Yep. He's at St. Louis, up against Jacksonville, up against Indianapolis, at Oakland, Indianapolis again, at Denver, and then playing Arizona, and then at Jacksonville. The last, if your playoffs are week 14 to week 16, he's at Denver. He's got a tough one against the Arizona, but then he comes and ends it up, if you get lucky enough to get into the championship, he's at Jacksonville. Now, in my opinion, he's got one stiff competition defense, one run defense, and that's Arizona. Everything else, he should be able to be pretty successful. He's got two against Indy, two against Jacksonville, Oakland, and Denver. You got to be kidding me. So
that's right.
Look for Chris Johnson. A lot of people are pretty much giving up on Chris Johnson because of what he went through the earlier part of the year. He showed flashes in a couple of games, but overall, he's barely hitting the top 20 in running backs, and a lot of people even probably put him on the bench, even though they may be playing him this week because they are lacking on something else in running back. But if you can grab Chris Johnson, I would do it. I would definitely do it without a doubt. He should be able to give you solid numbers as long as he stays healthy. Even though Sean Green is supposed to be picking up some carries, I still think Chris Johnson can be still a decent point getter in the running back position. Let me move to the Saints at the Jets. Top five defense against, I think they're top 10, if I'm not mistaken. I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints. These two teams have pretty good good defenses, both headed by the Ryan brothers. But one offense definitely outshines the other because of Drew Brees and company. Darren Sproles, Pierre Thomas, Jimmy Graham, Marcus Colston, who hasn't really done that much, but I think he's going to show out a little bit this week. And Kenny Stills, who's a rookie that is a dynamic and a big play wide receiver, and probably one of the bigger pickups in waiver wire this past week or so. And then Lance Moore, who I wouldn't say is an afterthought, but this is his second week back coming off an injury. So those other receiver options are probably going to take up the majority of receptions, but he could be a flex play if you're really hurting. On the other side, you know, I picked this kid up and I held him for about a week, and then I went for a better option. In fact, I dropped him to get Dexter McCluster in one league. Talking about Chris Ivory, he's coming back playing his team. Something tells me that this kid is going to get a lot of touches this week. Just for the simple fact is the revenge factor, and what a lot of players like to do is get revenge on their team and show them what they could have had if they kept him. And I think Chris Ivory fits that bill, and I think over below Powell, he's going to get the majority of carries, even though that they're supposedly sharing carries. Geno Smith needs to bounce back. He's got Jeremy Curley and Stephen Hill to throw to. No household names. And also, this is a decent tight end and probably the best option if you need a tight end from the Jets is Jeff Cumberland. Otherwise than that, I have nothing. And talk to me, Rick. What do you think about what I just said?
The Jets, that's going to be a good game because that's defense and defense. And I seriously think that the Jets have a chance, but the Saints defense has played, they played outstanding, even in that loss. You know, nobody thought that nobody thought that they would lose that game the way they lost it.
They shouldn't have lost it.
But, yeah, they could have won that game, and that would have really put me to the point to where I could say, hey, the Saints are legit. If they can keep winning outside, they're going to do their thing. But as far as the running back go, now, I believe in Chris Ivory. But I'm not going to take nothing from Bilal Powell because he started it out when Chris Ivory was hurt. And Bilal Powell, I think, is the better pass catcher out that backfield. So when the weather gets nasty, they're definitely going to look at Chris Ivory. But Bilal Powell, you can't take nothing from him because I noticed a lot of people did drop him. So I wouldn't discount him yet.
Okay. All right. I want to do another game. Yeah, let me do one more game here. Let's go to, and it's really not a game worth talking about, really. But I'll talk about any Buccaneers at the Seahawks because it's the Greg Schiano watch. Let me put it that way. 0-7 and counting. The only plays for me here are Vincent Jackson. And Mike Wright, because I do like Tim Wright, the tight end. He's another young rookie tight end that's got some very good ability. And I've always said this, if you listen to any of my shows, the best friend for a young quarterback is a tight end because he's right in the middle of the field for the most part, and it's a short, safe throw. So I like Tim Wright in this game, even though they're going up against a stout, real tough Seattle defense. He's going to need to get the ball out. If he's in passing, he's going to need to get the ball out quickly. And Tim Wright fits that bill quite nicely. On the other side, Russell Wilson.
Oh, are you telling me that they changed quarterbacks again?
Mike Glennon.
Who, the Bucs?
No, Mike. Quarterback for the Bucs is Mike Glennon.
Okay. That's what okay. So Mike Wright is the tight end?
Tim Wright is the tight end, yes. Yes.
The Bucs are so irrelevant now, I can't even, you know, it's just.
Yeah, you're right.
Nothing to say about them.
You're right. The reason one of the reasons people they're listening, I didn't mention Mike James, who's taken over for Doug Martin, is because this is Seattle. Now you can run on Seattle, but I don't think the offensive line is going to be able to open up any holes for Mike James to consistently run through. So that's why I'm discounting even mentioning him, even though I did. The two guys that I do like that may give you decent fantasy numbers is Vincent Jackson and Tim Wright, the tight end. On the other side, I've had this guy on. I've had him on one of my leagues. Let me put it that way. And right now, I'm carrying the number one position in the league, and I love this kid. I love this kid when I saw him last year, and I knew I could get him on the cheap in a draft. I got him in the one league that I have. Him as my starting quarterback, and the fact is, and this is a reason. One of the reasons I took the kid. He's a good quarterback. He's a consistent quarterback. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's durable, his weak his bye week isn't to bye week 12. And I picked this kid up in the fifth round, and I probably could have in a 14-team league, and probably could have picked him up later. But I really wanted this kid, and I'm talking about Russell Wilson. I absolutely like this kid a lot because the fact is that he's wise beyond his years. Let me put it that way. Second year in the league, I know he's in a run-based offense, but he can make plays with his feet, and quite naturally, he can make plays with his arm. And he's got a nice arm, an accurate arm to when he throws. So perfect position because he has the things I like in a quarterback, and I got him cheap. And his bye week is week 12, so I can ride him all the way to week 12 and get a quarterback. Let me put it this way. As long as this other quarterback that I'm going to name to you to take up the slack in week 12 stays healthy and stays the quarterback, he's a good play. I have this kid in my league, okay, Russell Wilson. His bye week is week 12. I picked up Case Keenum, all right? Sit him on my bench. Week 12 matchup, Houston has the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's my thinking. This kid showed me a lot when he played the Kansas City Chiefs. He played them tough and didn't have a real bad time of it and played pretty well. And for a bye week fill-in, I think this is a good kid against a great matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, if I'm not mistaken. So I grabbed him and feel very comfortable about not losing anything because the fact is I'm got my number one quarterback on a bye, which is bye week 12. Anyway, Marshawn Lynch is a great play here. I think he's going to do well. Because of Sidney Rice going down, look for Golden Tate to even get bigger role along with Doug Baldwin. I think Doug Baldwin probably benefits the most. Golden Tate has been getting consistent targets anyway. I think the biggest benefactor of Sidney Rice getting hurt is more looks for Doug Baldwin. So I'm not going to go to any more of the matchups, but I'm going to say, Ricky, you got anything about Seattle and Tampa Bay besides when Shiano going to get fired?
Hey, I'm looking for Shiano to get fired probably after he gets his first win, which would be crazy. Which would definitely be crazy, but this game, like I said, it's irrelevant. They're playing in Seattle. This would be the shock of the year if they go up there and somehow pull this W out, but they can't do it. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a lost cause for Tampa Bay.
Also, people were looking for Percy Harvin to play. Quite naturally, they'd know by now that he's not going to play. Look for Percy Harvin probably not next week, but probably by week 11.
I'm not even looking for him then. I truthfully, if Percy Harvin doesn't play right after their bye week, I'm looking for him to be their playoff guy. That's what I'm
okay. 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 I can see that. You're right about that. I didn't think about that, but you're right about that. Yeah. Well, I got Percy Harvin in one league. I was a couple leagues, I think. I was lucky enough to pick him up, and he's been sitting there just waiting because. And we'll see what happens. You got anything to say before we get out of here?
Nah, nothing at all. Like I said, I've been on hiatus, talking to a couple people, doing a couple different things. So I'll definitely be checking in whenever I can.
No problem. I appreciate you calling in, man, and spending the time here. Enjoy the games. Good luck in your fantasy matchups. All you people,
yes,
including
you,
Ricky. And be good to your young one there. I hear him in the background, so he must be having a good time, whatever he's doing.
We racing cars. So.
Okay. I hear you. That's always a good thing to spend quality time with your son. So
yeah,
I hear
definitely.
You. All right, my man. With that being said, I want to thank everyone for listening. If you missed any of the program, catch it on the archives. I enjoy the fantasy weekend. Enjoy the real games, and also the Monday night game. We're out of here.